Hello again, everyone. It is time once again for Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Going through the Gospel of John as we go through the Bible, we come today to John chapter 9, verse 35. And so I hope you can get your Bible, open it up to John chapter 9. You know, these Bible studies will bless you even more if you're looking at the Word of God as well as hearing it. Very important to have your Bible in front of you and reading it, if it's at all possible. So hopefully while you're getting it, that'll give me a minute to remind you of the Scripture Verse by Verse website, another place where you can study God's Word anytime you want to, as much as you want to. The sky's the limit at thebibleversebyverse.com. Study the whole Bible. From Genesis through Revelation, or study any book of the Bible you want to study, or any chapter, doesn't matter. Get in the Word of God, though. The Word of God will bless you. It'll change your life. It'll increase your faith. It'll give you peace, all because it draws us closer to Jesus. And that's the most important thing that we can have in this life, is a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So check it out at thebibleversebyverse.com. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 9, verse 35, the Bible says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Now, it's talking about a man that Jesus healed of blindness. And because this man, who had been blind all of his life, because this man would not denounce the one who healed him, Jesus, because this man testified that it was Jesus who did it, the religious leaders of the day excommunicated him from the synagogue and, by extension, from normal Jewish life, including business. And so it says in verse 35, when Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus went looking for this man after he heard that the religionists kicked him out of the synagogue. If you stand up for Christ, he will stand by you. Let people reject you because you stand up for Christ. If need be, let it happen. You have something much better than the company of that human trash. You have Christ. You have the Son of God. And he will say in front of all the angels, this one belongs to me. And on that day, it'll be worth it all. Verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? So this man now had physical vision, but now he also wants spiritual vision. He wants to know who the Son of God is so that he can believe in him. He's ready. All he needs is a little bit more information. 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. The one who gave this man his sight was not simply a man. He is God. The one who did what is impossible is the one for whom all things are possible. Jesus is saying, I'm the Son of God. I'm God. Verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. When someone genuinely believes in Christ, they will worship him. I had somebody text me, send me an email, protesting the fact that I said that Jesus was God. He said, well, if Jesus is God, why did he say, don't worship me, worship God? I wrote him back and I said, Jesus never said that. Paul said it. Peter said it. The angel of God said it in the book of Revelation. But Jesus never said that. He accepted worship, like he's doing right here. He accepted worship. He worshiped him. And Jesus didn't say, don't do that. You don't have to teach a saved person that it's right to worship Christ, or even how to worship Christ. You know that? It comes just real natural. Verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they who see not might see, and that they who see might be made blind. In other words, those who admit they need spiritual sight will have it when they approach the Word of God with a heart for the Lord. Those who say, I can see, I don't need the Scriptures, and I don't need all this talk about Christ, are in fact blind, and they will remain blind unless they change their attitude. 40. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? The religious rulers say, you're not implying that we are spiritually blind too, are you? 41. Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. In other words, if they would admit that they are blind and that they need a Savior, they could be forgiven. But notice, but now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. In other words, they think they are righteous. The religious leaders think they see just fine. They're the spiritually bright ones of the day. They see just fine. And they don't need a Savior, they think. And that's why their sin remains. There cannot be any forgiveness unless one recognizes that they need Jesus Christ, the Savior. And one will not recognize that they need Jesus Christ, the Savior, unless they are made very uncomfortable because of their sin. And they are made uncomfortable because of their sin when a preacher or Bible teacher has the boldness to be direct and not water down the word and call sin, sin, and confront them if need be, but certainly proclaim the Word of God without watering it down. It makes people very uncomfortable, and many people will leave the church and will no longer listen. But for the sake of the remnant who hunger for truth, truth needs to be given out, because they will repent and they will fall on their knees and admit that they need a Savior, and they won't go to hell unlike the rest of them. Let's go into chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. A sheepfold was an area enclosed by a fence with a single gate. It was where the sheep were kept at night. So, any person who climbs the fence to get at the sheep obviously does not belong there. If he did, he'd use the door. He'd use the gate. And so Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You don't pry a window open to get into your locked home. You live there, so you have a key. You go through the front door in broad daylight. And in the same way, the owner of the sheep goes through the gate because it's his sheepfold and they are his sheep. He doesn't have to sneak around because he belongs there. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You know, sheep may not be the smartest animals in the world. I don't know much about sheep, but I've heard they're mighty dumb. But they're smart enough to know the voice of the one who takes care of them. He calls them by name, and they follow him. Now, that guy who climbed over the fence, they don't trust, and they don't follow. He has a strange voice to them. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The real shepherd doesn't have to drive his sheep, because they follow him. And they follow him because they know he cares about them and provides for them. They like their shepherd, so they follow him. He doesn't have to drive them or force them. They just come. Verse 5, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The same God-given ability that causes a sheep to feel comfortable following their shepherd's voice causes them to run from the voice of a stranger. That stranger can talk nice to them, but forget it, he's a stranger, and they don't follow him. 6. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Jesus spoke these words to the religious rulers, but they did not understand. They did not understand because they were not the Lord's sheep. If they would have been, they would have heard, and they would have followed. And that's what that story is all about. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. God has a flock and a sheepfold, and Jesus is the door that gets us into God's flock. Do you see that? Jesus is that one single gate that gets you into God's flock. Jesus is the door that gets people off the highway to hell and into the family of God. Verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Others had come claiming to be God's man, but those who had a heart for God did not follow them. Those who love truth can be led astray for a while, depending on how slick the lies are packaged, but they're not going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. They will eventually know that it isn't right. 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice the invitation is for anyone who wants it. Did you get that? If you enter through Christ, you will be saved. It's open to anyone. It's open to you, no matter how bad you have been. It's open to anyone, but there's only one door to heaven. It's a narrow way. It's very restricted. It's through Christ alone. But anybody can enter it if they want to. Receive Christ, and you get off the road to hell, and you get on the road to heaven. Verse 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the thieves that Jesus is talking about here are spiritual frauds. They rob people of the joy they could experience in Christ. They're false prophets, false teachers, false pastors. They're not called by God. To them, the ministry is some sort of a career. They're in it for selfish motives. Again, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You get 100% sold out for Jesus Christ as a Christian. You fill yourself up with a steady diet of God's word, and you will enjoy life more than you ever thought possible. The Christian who is not sold out to Christ is going to be miserable. The Christian who is sold out to Christ will be filled with joy and peace. And that's the abundant life that Christ has come to give. Not just eternal life, salvation from hell. Oh, that's huge. I mean, that's the most important thing, I would say. But right on the heels of that is the abundant life that comes from living for Jesus and being sold out for him. There's no reason to live any other way as a Christian. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Like a faithful shepherd fights to the death for his sheep. Like a faithful shepherd who guards his sheep even to the death, Jesus died to save us from hell. He did what he needed to do to protect us from eternal suffering. He was willing to lay down his life for us. 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Sometimes shepherds would hire men to watch their sheep. But those guys didn't care about the sheep. All they cared about was their paycheck. When a wolf comes, they run to save their lives, and they let the sheep die. And there are some who call themselves ministers, but they are only in it for a paycheck or some sort of other personal gain. They don't really care about the sheep. And when push comes to shove, if it costs them something, they'll water down the truth. They won't be there for the sheep. They won't give them the truth that they need to become strong in the Lord. And so it says in verse 13, Jesus says, the hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. The hired shepherd is more interested in himself than in doing his job of caring for the sheep. And again, Jesus is talking about preachers who use the church, who use Christians rather than serve them. They are in it for themselves, not because they have a heart for Jesus, and not because they have a heart for his people. There are some, I'm afraid many, who take simple truths from the Holy Word of God, and complicate them by using lofty language. It doesn't help God's people. But that preacher sure impresses them with his intellect. Impresses many of them anyway. And then you have others who water down the truth if they think it might offend someone. And again, that doesn't help the people either. But it sure makes him popular. These people are ministers of self. They are false shepherds, false preachers, false teachers. The love of self is a deadly sin. 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Jesus and Christians know each other. That's the big lesson from this verse. Jesus and Christians know each other. There's a connection there between a saved person and the Savior. And it's not a religious connection. It's much deeper than that. Salvation isn't about religion. It's not about doing the right religious thing in the correct order. It isn't even about church. Salvation is about having a one-on-one relationship with your Maker, the Lord Jesus Christ. 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We cannot be Christians if Jesus did not lay down his life for us. His blood is the thing that paid for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him in the first place. Verse 16, and other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The Israelites, who Jesus was talking about, or who Jesus was talking to here, were just one part of his spiritual flock. Jesus has big plans. He's gonna blend people of every size, shape, color, nationality into his one huge flock called Christians. 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Jesus went through a nightmare of suffering for us on the cross, and the Father loved him for doing it. If the Father loves him for doing that, think how much more we should love him, since we're getting the benefits of it. We're the ones that are not going to hell if we receive him as Lord and Savior. Verse 18, no man taketh it. It's talking about his life. Now watch this. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No one could take Jesus' life. He is God. No murderous plans of wicked people could succeed against him unless he let it happen. Jesus picked the time and the place and the manner of his death. You say, well, then that leaves the Pharisees and Judas and Pontius Pilate and the soldiers who nailed him to the cross. That leaves them off the hook, right? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because they did it of their own free will. But God is sovereign. They had a heart to murder Jesus. They had a heart to betray Jesus. They had a heart to do all that. Jesus just decided how it was going to be done in his sovereignty, even though the choice was still theirs. And I can't explain that, but that's the truth. 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. The idea that Christ came to bring unity between all men is not true. You ever listen to somebody who says, oh, you know, Jesus came to bring unity. Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. No, it doesn't mean that. It means goodwill between sinners and God if they receive Christ. That's what the goodwill is about that Jesus came to bring. But goodwill between men? No. Jesus himself said, I came to bring a sword, not peace. So the idea that Christ came to the world to bring unity between all men, I mean, it sounds real loving and real sweet and all that kind of stuff, but it's just not true. His entrance into the world and his entrance into homes and into people's lives brings division, not unity. Oh, there's unity, all right, between those who have made him their Lord and Savior, but division between those who receive him and those who reject him. 20. And many of them said, he hath a demon and is mad. Why hear ye him? Jesus was the only perfect person who ever lived. He never said a wrong or unkind word, and he never did a wrong thing, which tells you just a little bit about the depraved nature of those who claimed he was demon-possessed. How do you come to that conclusion when this man has never done anything wrong? Never been unkind, never said a wrong thing, and you come to the conclusion that he's demon-possessed? You are a warped human being. If you don't see that he is God after reading the New Testament, especially the Gospel of John, you are a warped human being, and you don't even love the truth, because if you did, it would jump out at you. 21. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a demon? Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, these people recognized that what Jesus did was good. It was God. It was a God thing that he did constantly. You say, oh, I get it. I don't get it. I get that there's division, but I don't get it. How could some believe one thing and others something totally different? Because of what we learned a little while ago. Some people were his sheep and some were not. What? The shepherd's sheep recognize his voice and they follow him. Those who are not his sheep will not follow him. That's why there was a division in their opinion about Christ. Some had a hunger for truth, some did not. Some were his sheep, some were not. If you are a Christian who has truly received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are one of his sheep. You will hear his voice. You will agree with what the Word of God says, even if it doesn't set necessarily very well with you. You're going to agree with it. You're going to know it's right. Those who reject Christ and don't have the Spirit of God, they're going to be offended at God's Word or indifferent toward it, one or the other, certainly at least indifferent. Let's go into verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of the Dedication. And it was winter. The Feast of Dedication, or the Feast of Lights, is not one of the feasts established by God himself in the book of Leviticus. It was actually established by a man named Judas Maccabees in about 165 BC. It celebrated the rededication of the temple after it had been desecrated by the Gentiles. It's also known as Hanukkah. 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch was outside the temple itself. It was the area around the temple where even Gentiles were allowed to enter. 24, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now, they are implying that Christ had not given them enough information to form an opinion about him. And that's funny. That's funny because plenty of others had enough information to believe in him. But these particular Israelites, you see, under the pretext of needing more information, rejected Christ. They didn't need more information. They didn't need more evidence. They needed to quit being so pig-headed and act on the evidence that they had, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and that he's the only way to heaven, the only door that you must enter if you want to be one of God's. I'm out of time. Continue studying the Word of God at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. You need the Word of God. You know that? And so do I. We all need the Word of God. If you're a Christian, you need it to grow stronger in your faith, to give you peace in these perilous times. You need to draw closer to Jesus, because if you're not going through hard times, you will be. And you need to be close to Christ. And there's only one way to get close to Christ, through the Word of God. So study it verse by verse at thebibleversebyverse.com using my audio Bible messages. Study at your pace and at your convenience. And please remember that I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. I depend on you, people who love God's Word. If you want to be a part of this ministry and help me to get out the Word of God, stand shoulder to shoulder with me and do the work of the Lord, get out the Word of God, then pray for me, pray for this ministry, and also click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.